I don't like that we don't have a plan here.
Yeah, maybe we should make a, this is going to freak her out if we don't get a plan. So maybe
is
we should
get a plan. Is that affecting your mental health?
Yes.
Welcome to the Red Hill Podcast, a podcast by Salukis for Salukis and anyone else that wants to listen. Welcome back to the Red Hill Podcast. I am your host for this episode, Mr. Potts. And with me is...
Sammy Combs.
Hallie Tilly.
Gracie Grove.
I hit the light with my pencil. So if you hear a little... I did not hit Gracie to get her to speak.
No, he hit
that
me.
Was, yeah. Wait. That is not... that did not
We can bleep happen. That out.
Bleep out me hitting you or...
Yeah, you hitting me. We can bleep out that part.
I will definitely be editing this. We do not need to be having that in here.
At least we aren't going to be talking about drugs and alcohol this time.
Oh, that was a talk?
Are you sure we're not going to?
We might. You never know.
Because some people cope that
like,
way.
I feel like this is an episode. This is a topic that could probably go in that direction because we are talking today about mental health. So
I agree.
How this came about is at the 8th grade fair.
Yes.
We had the media club on like display as something for people to join when they get into high school. And Gracie came up to me and said, we should totally do an episode on mental health. And I'm like, that's actually a really good idea. And so here we are. So she's also recruited Hallie to help talk about it. So
I just sort of fell into this.
Sammy just came out of nowhere.
Sammy is one of our media club people. So she's one of our podcast team. So that's why she's here. And I'm here to guide. To shepherd, if you will.
Good.
So I guess the obvious first question would be, why is it that you felt like this would be an important episode to have?
I feel like it's definitely because, like, in high school, normally, like, anywhere, a lot of people struggle with it. But for me, it happened a lot in, like, when I first started high school and, like, junior high. Like, that's where. So I felt like it was just, and a lot of people don't like talking about it. So maybe they'll, like, yeah, I don't know.
You want to open up a little bit about what do you mean by you struggled a little bit with it?
I don't really know how to explain it. I guess it was just kind of like one of those things where like my body image or like stress, stuff like that was really big for me.
That's the source of a lot of it.
Especially social media.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I feel like that's something really
so
big.
As someone who's like around and went to school before the advent of social media, that was still a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was still a lot of body shaming. There was still a lot of, I don't measure up to this person or this person or this person, that type of thing. So that's been kind of a standard. I think it's probably gotten worse because of social media and filters. And for some reason, people are obsessed with, I don't know why we're obsessed with selfies.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like you guys are, but like as a kind of a culture or as kind of like this generation, it's like get the selfies on there and get the responses and get the likes. Like that's the most important thing, getting people to respond. And I'm not sure, you know.
That, I mean, it's kind of big. I feel like still like that. If like somebody doesn't, then you're like, oh, like they don't like me or they're like talking bad about me or like that's why they didn't like my post. Or they didn't comment on my post.
It's almost a snowball thing.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of worried about one thing. So you do this to help that. But then you start worrying about 15 other things.
Yeah, and definitely.
This is why mental health is a big thing.
Yep.
I think this is one of the reasons you can say that social media is kind of really kind of set the fire.
Even if people like try to talk about it, I feel like it's still really big. And it like still doesn't really help.
Do you feel like you're still kind of struggling with the things that used to struggle with?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten good at it, like, with my self-image and stuff. But, I mean, I still struggle with it, of course, because it's just like, oh, like, you know, like, she's prettier than me. Like, oh, like, she has a slimmer body than me or, like, stuff like that. Or even just, like, the little things. I don't know. I'm a big overthinker. So that doesn't help a lot either.
Mm-hmm. And that probably started around, you said, really kind of got bad in junior high and stuff
junior
like that.
Junior high, yeah, kind of around that age is when it really, it got bad for me around that age. I mean, it.
It definitely, I think something about getting into this building,
mm-hmm.
because the kids upstairs are wanting to act like the really cool high schoolers. They're, you know, they see the big high schoolers and, oh, we're in the high school building now. So they start wanting to act like high schoolers, but they're still, mm-hmm. you're still kind of the kids at Sumner, and that, you yeah. know, and some of them are still acting like it, but some of them want to be considered like the high schoolers. And then with the high school, they're kind of balancing the fact that, oh, we're still students, but we're also adults now. And yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
So Hallie, why is mental health an important thing for you?
Cause I struggle with it. And like I have for a while. So, and I feel like it's like hard to like cope with it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just want to help other people.
Yeah.
That's also why I kind of wanted to do this. Cause I was like, maybe if somebody listens to it, it'll help.
When you say you want to help other people, is it you want to help other people not struggle with the things or learn how to, like, do you worry about what people, without, you know, without getting into too much personal detail, wanting to help people not struggle in the ways that you struggle?
Yeah, and like I want them to know that like they're not alone.
Yeah, that's
yeah. like they're not the only one who struggles with it.
That's like the number one thing is like, you tell yourself you're the only one thinking about this. Mm-hmm. You're the mm-hmm. only one that struggles with yeah. this. You're the only one that's doing it. Everyone else has their total act together.
Yeah.
That type of thing. But the problem is everybody's saying the exact same thing. So if everyone's saying the exact same thing, nobody has their life together.
Yeah.
yeah.
I also feel like a lot of people struggle in so many different ways, but then some people like do struggle in the same exact ways.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think you've really, you've kind of been kind of consciously know that you've been struggling with it?
Yeah, I'm like a lot better now,
mm-hmm.
but I'd say like summer going into seventh grade was like pretty bad in eighth grade.
So about that same time period.
Then. Yeah. And I think like social media is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like say you're on TikTok and you're just like scrolling, like comparing yourself to every other girl on there, like Instagram. It makes you insecure. I mean...
Because you see those, like, slim girls in bikinis, and you're
photoshopped.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they're photoshopped. You think they're real.
The filters.
Yes. You can just, like, bleep this out. I don't know, but...
We don't have to bleep. I can just cut it out.
You can
bleep.
Just like cut this out. But like sometimes like I can't go to sleep because of my thoughts. So I like listen to thunderstorm sounds.
I do that too. I got her into that actually.
Or like music.
Is it a thing where you're trying to focus your brain on one thing instead mm-hmm. of letting it wander or trying to like drown out?
I'm trying to drown out my thoughts. Or like I'll be praying to God or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like all these thoughts start rushing towards me. I'm like... I'm just trying to pray. Yeah.
That's really that's a big thing that happens with me too. It's like, okay, I'm going to focus on this spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm focused on anything but that spiritual thing.
Yeah. It happens to
me. I feel like something that helped me, like if we're going to talk about coping, Hallie took me to church one time and that helped me a lot. Like knowing that like somebody is there for me and also knowing that like God like has a plan for you. And it's like something like, I don't know, that's always helped me. But you know that might not help other people.
Like, it depends on if you're religious or not.
Yeah. Which, whenever, I mean, I'm not really
religious. Whenever you guys both come to church, I love it because I love whenever, like, somebody invites somebody else, like, our age
mm-hmm.
to come to something that, like, can help them.
Yeah.
It's super, like, inspiring and it's really cute, honestly. Mm-hmm. That sounds so weird, but it's so cute.
I love going to church. It's my favorite thing ever.
So, yeah, but here's the thing. Growing up, I was by far, except for my younger sister, I was by far, like, the youngest person in our church because... me and my two siblings were the kids in the church. Like our family was like the only people under the age of 60 in our church growing up. So
that'd be so
is
weird.
This the church you preach at now?
No, I preach at a different church. We actually have a ton of little kids now.
That's yeah.
The church I preach at, we actually have a lot of family, young families and little kids.
That's how we are.
And things like that.
I feel like New Hope is very welcoming and that's what I liked about it. And it helped me a lot because like when I found God, I feel like being, like feeling like welcomed in a place that I was like, oh, like, no, like I'd never go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then feeling welcomed really helped me a lot.
But really that kind of goes with the idea when someone is struggling with mental health, because mm-hmm. I mean, to open up, I wouldn't say I struggle with mental health. But for a very long time, I've really had kind of fighting off like negative mindsets and negative attitudes and things like that.
I agree with that.
And I struggled with self-image a lot and stuff growing up and all that. So having that like support system kind of goes against that whole, you're on your own on this. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to listen to you, that type of thing.
And you feel like that a lot too, because it's like your brain is like, oh, like, no one wants to hear about your like problems. You're being annoying. Like, no one cares. But there is people out there that really do care, and they do want to help you. Even if they say that they are like, I don't know. Like, in my brain, like, sometimes I feel like, oh, like, they may say they want to hear, but they don't want to. But like, sometimes they do.
Like, there's almost a little part of it even now saying, I don't want to say a whole lot because someone's going to listen to this, and then they're all going to look at me different, and they're all going to make fun of me and stuff like that. And
I was a little nervous about that.
That's going to be the scary thing.
And then it's like, you just don't like want to burden them, because like, you don't want to give like your friends more problems than they already have.
Yeah, that was my big thing too.
Like, you don't want to put all your problems onto somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I was having a bunch of mental problems, and I cut out both of my best friends, and then a couple, like a week or two later, they came back and they were like, it's okay, you can talk to us. It's okay, you can just burden us with whatever is going on.
That fear almost comes from a self-worth picture. Mm-hmm. I'm not worth listening to. My problems are, you know, nobody's going to want to care about the stuff that I'm going through and that type of thing. And that kind of goes back. I wonder if a lot of the mental health struggles that people go through, especially young people, a lot of it, probably more than we realize, goes a lot of all the way back to self-image, self-worth type of
it's
thing.
It's definitely, that's a big thing, I feel like.
I'm not worth, you know, sharing this. Nobody wants to hear this. You know, well, you're struggling with this because you're weak. You need to just buck up and things like that. Now, growing up, that was the culture that we lived in, because you didn't really talk about, especially for guys, men did not talk about feelings.
Yeah. That's still a big thing. I feel like men don't really like talking about their feelings
because it makes them feel weak or something.
You got to be an alpha. You got to be the alpha.
Yes.
That is multi-generational. That goes all the way back, because I'm kind of that last of the generation where the dads didn't show affection to their kids.
Yeah.
The dads didn't really tell the kids, I love you, things like that. They were the strong providers. They, you know, the nurturing was for the mother. And providing, hunting, gathering, killing, conquering,
hunting
was for
that part's the fun part, though.
I mean, if you're actually hunting, but if the hunting gathering is now work at your job to get a paycheck to, you know, pay for these kids that are running around your house and eating all your food and stuff like that.
All I know is that I've only seen my dad cry like 4 times, maybe.
My dad's
most
a big
of
baby.
Is whenever someone dies.
Yeah, I've only seen my dad cry once.
I don't know if I ever saw my dad cry.
And it was when I got baptized.
That's a good reason to cry.
Yeah. I mean, at least it was a happy cry.
Yeah, yes, that's true. I haven't really seen my dad cry. I mean, he is a big baby. I mean, there's been a couple times where he's like crying in front of me. I'm like, whoa, what is this?
See, it's like, not normalized.
And it needs to be normalized. That's something. Mm-hmm. Like, and talking about your feelings, like, as a guy, like, you should be able to. You shouldn't, like, be looked at differently.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Because, like, you have feelings, too. Like, you're a human being. You're not just a guy. You're also a human.
Mm-hmm. Nope, just a guy.
No, you're a human. Nope, you're a human, Mr. Potts. You can talk about your feelings with us.
I'm uncomfortable.
Steve, then you have to talk to us.
We know what you're going through. We're here for you.
We don't know what you're going through, but we're still here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too busy trying to help you guys get through what you guys are going through.
Well, yeah, but then after that, you can tell us what you're going through.
Yeah, if you guys ever need anybody to talk to, go to Mr. Potts. Just throw all your problems on Mr. Potts.
He's not just a librarian.
It's what he lives
He's
for.
Also a therapist.
He's if also you ever were wondering. He's also a barista.
Yeah. And a preacher.
And a preacher.
And a preacher.
All a lot of different things.
He's everything.
That stress panic thing right there, that is very real.
Which
the like
one?
The person, that one.
This one right here, the
yeah.
Hit with everything that goes in the head.
That I feel like anxiety for me has been a really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And same. Stress.
And they're school. Like, they're like, take this medication for anxiety, it will go away. It's no, a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's a lie.
My parents never got me any. I need some, but they never got
to
me
take,
any.
I used to take gummies.
The gummies are work. Fake. They just taste good.
Yeah. They're just there to taste good.
I guess worst case scenario, at least you have some gummies.
Yeah. Exactly.
The statistics always show that like depression is number one.
Oh yeah.
Anxiety number
mm-hmm.
two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stress kind of it feeds and gets fed
mm-hmm.
in a lot of those ways, because when you hit that depression part and you don't really function like you're supposed to be functioning, so you can't mm-hmm. really keep up. And then when you don't keep up, things start piling up, and then that just increases the stress, and then that just increases the depression, that increases the anxiety, because you're like, why? And then you just feel like you're on this hamster wheel type of thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree with that completely.
I mean, it's almost like there should be like a wheel, like a Ferris wheel going around with those, the picture that we're looking at is like a image of a person. It's like all these name tags with stress and panic and shame and phobia and anxieties. And
it says, hello, my name is stress, mm-hmm. anxiety.
I'm really confused because I'm looking at the depression one right now, and I'm like, how does the, like, this is just random things going on in my brain. How does the D fit right there for depression? Because it's like the E is cut off halfway, and it's like.
But it's almost at the end of the tag.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that causing anxiety?
Yes. Do you have OCD?
I do have OCD.
I think everyone has a touch of OCD.
I kind of do.
And ADHD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got diagnosed with ADHD and it actually kills me.
Wait,
I am self-diagnosed
okay, ADHD.
So like your ADHD, does that like affect your mental health?
A little bit. I mean, because I do hate the fact that I can't focus on one thing. And then I get in my head and I'm like, I can't do this because I can't sit here and focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I get in my head and I'm like, you can't do this. Like, you can't be this. You can't do this when you grow up. Like, you're not going to be able to do like what you want to do, like all this stuff. And then I get in my head like, oh, you're stupid. Like, yeah.
So it's that whole snowball thing we were talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of always been my thing. When you let the voice start going,
it never stops.
And you don't check it at the very get-go. And people don't realize that it's actually possible to check it at the get-go. When you like start, because you kind of, a lot of it, you kind of get in the habit of talking like that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing the things we'll say to ourselves we would never say to anybody else.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we will totally tell ourselves that. But you get that point where you just like stop at mid-sentence. Like, wait. What am I saying here? What's going on here? And then you just kind of stop. And then you kind of say something to the complete opposite.
I was going to say that I never even thought about that.
Thought about
stop,
what?
Like stopping the voice and saying
that. I never did either.
Yeah.
I never thought I could.
That was one of the biggest things that I started to do, is when the voice started talking at me, I was like, hold on. Why in the world am I saying that?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And then you just, you start changing your narrative. And sometimes you have to do it like verbally. Sometimes you actually have to speak it out loud until you kind of get in that habit of doing it. That was one of the biggest things that caused me to kind of turn the corner and stop beating myself up as much as I used to. Still happens from time to time. Sometimes the filter doesn't work, but that was one of the biggest things that I did to stop turning around. So if you could suggest, like if you only had the opportunity to suggest one thing to someone to kind of help them along, something that helped you.
Can we play the elevator song for 5 seconds, please?
The elevator song?
Like the da-da-da. Wait. Dun-dun-dun.
You mean the Jeopardy song?
No. Dun-dun-dun. Yeah, that dun. One. Because I need to think about it.
That's fine. You can totally think about it.
This is a thing. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I would probably say something that, like, falls into, like you should, like, read about it in the Bible or you should pray about it. But, that doesn't work for everyone.
Because not everybody's religious.
If you're not religious, then
you don't believe it.
Probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
So.
But you don't have to necessarily be religious to change how you think.
Oh, yeah.
To rewire your brain.
Okay, yeah.
Now, that's a whole nother conversation, the religious side of things. That's a whole different conversation. We'll have to have like a 3-part podcast for that.
We can do that.
We could totally do that. That would actually be
I'm excited to talk to Ms. Rorock.
excited to see what she could say about some of this.
But like everyone can kind of get in that habit of the moment you start, you got to be conscious that you're saying it. Because sometimes I think we're not even conscious we're doing it until we're well down the path of doing it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of things that I've like told my friends, I feel like I don't even know what I was going to go with that.
I would say that like, I don't,
it's hard.
Like, yeah. You need, like, you want to remember, like, that, like, you, like, if you want your mental health to get better, like, you have to try. Like, you have to, like, dig yourself out of the hole.
And a lot of people don't want to dig themselves out of the hole because they don't really,
like,
they don't see how bad it is getting.
Like, if social media is making you depressed, then maybe you should, like, not stay, like, not get on it as much or, like, make yourself get out of bed, like even if it's hard, stuff like that, and like find like a trusted person and talk to them about it.
And sometimes
or write it down if you don't trust anyone.
Yeah, sometimes it can be, but then again, sometimes you what there are situations where what you're dealing with might be a little much for your best friend.
Yeah, there's been a couple of times where I have not told Hallie because I'm just like I don't want to throw.
Then you figure out, okay, who's my person B?
A journal.
Yeah.
Definitely.
God.
Journal. Praying about it.
Therapy.
I did one time do this like therapy thing online where you could like talk to a therapist. I don't really know how to explain it.
I know what you're talking about.
I've seen it on TikTok. So I was like, oh, I'm going to try this. And it kind of helped. But like, I don't know. I was kind of like uncomfortable telling somebody like all about my stuff. I was like, I don't know
telling you. Telling a total stranger?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know you. What if you're just like some...
But you could look at it like, oh, like you're just a stranger and I've never met you.
So. True, you could look
at it. And I'm never going to see you again, so I can tell you pretty much anything I want. Or I'm never going to see you
in person, so...
Right, because you don't necessarily worry about getting judged by a stranger.
Yeah, I feel like also a lot of people are like, oh, like go to therapy. Like, that'll help you. Okay, but seeing a person like over and over again, like, then they know all about you. So it's just like, yeah, you know? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, sometimes it helps with people. Like, therapy does help.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I've never, like, do you go to therapy, Sammy?
No.
Okay. See, I've never went to therapy either, so, like, I wouldn't know.
I've been wanting to, but.
But I feel like it would be a good thing. I mean, it's somebody
that, to talk to.
Yeah, it's like their literal job to help you.
And I've also heard that therapists... like they hate their job after a while because like, you know, like they go in there like, oh, like I'm going to help people. And then they get all of these like things like smushed inside of them. Like,
and then really they smushed. Have to try to like figure it all out for other people.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember like, talking about how I wanted to be a therapist and like, I've talked to you about this before.
Yes.
And like, whoever I was talking to about it was like, well, like you have to think about it. Like you have everybody's problems piled on you.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot.
It's kind of like if you're like a doctor or something and you're doing like a surgery and something goes wrong, then you have like the guilt of knowing that or like of thinking that it was your fault.
Yeah. Especially like, let's say like the therapist was like trying to get somebody not to, you know, and they end up doing it. Like that could like weigh like on them.
Yeah.
You and immediately start thinking, what should I have said different? That type of thing.
Yes.
Like, was it my fault that they did this?
Yeah.
And could I have helped them in some way?
To a certain extent, there needs to be that because you need to go back and see, okay, did I do something wrong so that I don't make that same mistake again? Mm-hmm. I think to a certain extent, a professional needs to talk about that. But professionals, they are limited by a lot of things because there's rules that they have to follow and there's procedures that they have to follow as well. And sometimes you get so caught up in, okay, well, let's fix. A person doesn't necessarily need fixed all the time. They just need to be heard.
Yeah, right. That was a big thing for me. I just need to be heard and felt like I was loved and like stuff like that, you know? I don't know really how to explain it.
I understand that. Like,
yeah, I think that explained it perfectly.
Like, I'll be talking to somebody about like something and they're like, I don't know what to say, but like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, like you listened and like I got it all out. So that's enough.
That's enough for me.
Like, just like, don't thank say you. Anything. Just.
Yeah, like, listen. Thank you for listening to me, because it made me feel heard, even if you didn't have, like, something
even
that could
have any
help
good insight.
Me. Yeah. at least you listened to me and you're, and I trust you to keep it.
Especially if they're the only person that has listened.
Yeah, especially that. That's a,
100%. Mm-hmm. There is a lot more to be said. We're going to put an end to part one. And I think this needs to be part one. I think there's like a lot more to talk about and that type of thing.
How many and a lot more.
We'll probably do two or three at this point.
We'll make more ideas for next time.
We'll do one more, and then we'll bring in Ms. Roark. I've already talked to her, and she's ready to go. She's excited about joining. Good. And so we'll make that part three. But we'll talk a little bit more about general stuff as a part two, and then we'll bring in Ms. Roark as a part three, and it'll be like a big trilogy type of thing.
When is part three? Well, part two going to be?
We'll probably record it next week.
Okay.
We can write down ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You guys
talk about some more things.
This time it'll be even better because we'll be more prepared.
Yeah, we were not prepared this time.
I think you guys did an absolutely fantastic job.
Thank you.
I was a little nervous. All right. I was hoping you'd do it with me. I'm glad you.
How do we end this?
Basically, we just say that's all we got for right now, but we are going to come back to this subject at a later time. We'll see you all next week on the Red Hill Podcast. I'm once again Mr. Potts.
Sammy Combs.
Hallie Dilly.
Gracie Grove.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 And that's it. That's how you do it.
Yay. That was fun.